27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him. They mocked him, wagging their heads. I don't know exactly the significance of that. Shaking their heads, wringing their necks, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself." They thought that when he was talking about destroying him, when he talked about that, they thought he was talking about the temple made of stone and so forth. "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." That's what I want to talk to you about, that 43rd verse. This 43rd verse is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 22 in verse 7, which I just read to you. This verse of Scripture is the fulfillment of that ancient prophecy that was prophesied by King David in the 22nd Psalm. The words of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, to the very letter, our Lord Jesus Christ answers that ancient prophecy. Here we see the Lord Jesus. Here we see our Master and our blessed Lamb of God. We see Him in His death agonies. He's dying. Dying. He's made a spectacle of men. And there's a crowd. He's surrounded by a crowd of men and women. Boys and girls, I suppose. And he's agonizing. And this crowd's mocking him, wagging their heads, making light of his prayers. Said he trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. They made light of his prayers, insulted his faith. For he said, I am the Son of God. He said he trusted in God, and they made light of his faith, and light of his prayers, insulted it. Evidently nothing was sacred to this crowd. What an evil thing sin is. This is the outcrop, the overflow of what a man is. This is a picture of total depravity in the clearest of pictures. That the Son of God, hanging on a tree, dying in anguish, suffering, crowd of men, women, and boys and girls, making sport, making light of the Son of God, insulting His faith, making fun of His prayers, mocking Him. That's a clear picture of total depravity. A lot of people say now, yes, I believe in depravity, but I say, do you believe in total depravity? No, they don't believe in total depravity. But I believe in total depravity. I believe that every faculty of man's being is touched by this evil thing called sin. And this that we see is the evidence of this depravity. We see also here, the sin bearer. We see him suffering so bitterly to make atonement for it. Sin being an evil thing, yet the evilness is personified when we see the sin bearer suffering to make atonement for sin. Sin must be atoned for. We must have an atonement. We cannot approach God apart from atonement. We can't atone for our sins ourselves because we're sinners ourselves. There's nothing about us that's of any value to God by way of atonement. Only the Son of God, who was a stranger to sin, who knew no sin, only the Son of God can make atonement as a man. Since the sin bearer suffers so terribly, so bitterly, to make atonement for sin. We also see the shame of sin. Since even the Prince of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, is bearing the result of it, bearing the consequences of it, here is covered with contempt and ridicule. We could stop and say here, how He loved us. I'm talking to those who trust in God. I've got nothing to say to anybody else. Those that trust in God, I say unto you, how He loved us. Because it was for our sake He endured the cross, despising the shame. It's for our sake. For our sake, He stood in our place, our stead, our room, suffered gladly, willfully, cheerfully in our place, endured the cross and all of its degradation and shame. How He loved us. How He loved us. The treatment of our Lord here, I've already said, by this crowd, by these men, women, boys, and girls, is the clearest proof of total depravity which can possibly be required or discovered, that men would mock God to His face. Must be stony, hard-hearted people that can laugh in the face of a dying Savior, wag their heads and laugh and jest and make light of and mock. They see the Lord here in sorrow and His shame. We see Him here as our substitute. Our substitute. We see Him here as the Lamb of God, sent by God to make atonement for our sins. Must suffer. But don't forget, He's also here as our representative. That means He's here as our pattern. In the Psalms, one that I read to you in Psalm, part of that Psalm I read to you, first 8 verses, I think, Psalm 22. Many things in the Psalms that relates to David, and the things that are related to David in the Psalms relate to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Many things turn out to be directly related, meaning David. And other things that are said are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's difficult and it's hard to weave this entanglement together to find out the whole truth of it. As to one place it says, of whom does the prophet speak of? Does he speak of David or does he speak of himself? Many times it applies to both. In many cases it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, he not only is our suffering substitute, but he's our pattern. He's our pattern. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, as he suffers, we'll suffer. You'll suffer in this world. He suffered. He suffered from the start to the finish. When he came into this world, no room for him at the end. Wouldn't even give him a place to be born. A place out of the wind, the covert, the storm, and so forth. Put him in a stable. Lived all his life like that, despised and rejected from start to finish. As he is, so are we in this world. The Bible speaks of us being crucified to this world. He was crucified. The Bible says, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. We must suffer without the camp, without the gate, as he suffered without the gate. He's our representative. He's our pattern, Bob. We must be made to know the cross and the shame of the cross. To know it, identify with it. We must suffer at the hands of men, like he suffered at the hands of men. But this is the thing here that I think is very important in this verse of Scripture here. I told you about who it is here. That's the Son of God, our substitute, suffering in our place and our stead and our room, bearing our shame, bearing our guilt, bearing the penalty due us as a man, and also as our representative, as a pattern for us that we too will suffer in this world. At the hands of men and at the hands of friends, we'll suffer. But the main thrust here is this. This is what they said about him. They said he trusted in God. He trusted in God. That was their testimony, this crowd. There he hangs. Two thieves, one on this side and one on the other side. And they joined in with the crowd, laughing, mocking, along with the crowd. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. They said the same thing. But yet the whole crowd come to this conclusion that he trusted in God. The man hanging there between two thieves, they come to this conclusion that he trusted in God. That's saying something, isn't it? He trusted in God. Oh, listen. His enemies. And these were his enemies. They laughed at him, mocked him. His enemies admitted his faith in God. Now, here's the question. How did they know that he had faith in God? How did they know he had faith in God? They said he trusted in God. How'd they know it? Well, he did not wear any particular or peculiar garb or garment or mode of dress that by which he let men know he trusted in God. They did not know he trusted in God by his visible appearance, by what he wore. He didn't have a, you know, nowadays we see the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Roman Catholics. They wear this garment without a collar. They have no collar on their shirt. They don't have a collar on their shirt like I do. They have a different garb, a different ensemble. Thereby letting people know something about them. They either say, well, he's a holy man, or he's the biggest scoundrel that lives in this town. Why do they say it? Because of his garments, mostly. Well, how was it that men knew he trusted in God if it was not something which he wore, which enabled them to arrive at that conclusion? No, he was as and so perfectly a man. Much man as if he's never God, and as much God as if he's never man. And distinctly, perfectly a man and all God in one person. Although he was certainly a Jew, there's no doubt as to the ancestry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was a Jew from start to finish. But there was no Jewish peculiarities about him. He was an ordinary man. No Jewish peculiarities. They didn't say about him, he has this on his garments. He prays three times every day. He's out in the middle of the street saying this and saying that. He had none of the peculiarities of the Jews or the Pharisees or the scribes. How did they know? They couldn't help knowing. Because he made much of God. He made much of God in his preaching, in his teaching. Why, there in the book of Matthew, when it talks about the Beatitudes, blessed are they which mourn, they shall see God. Blessed are they. He talked about God. All of his teaching and his preaching was about God. Never related to himself. What he said he got it from God. I speak the words of God. He made much of God. He said that he came from God, and the God that he came from led him, and in his leadership he glorified God, made much of God. You could say of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man that made much of God, talked about God, true faith. And he had true faith. He trusted in God. And true faith is like a rudder that guides a ship. Men who knows God, their speech is flavored with God. Their thoughts are full of God. He made much of God. That's how they knew that he trusted in God. Some, as I told you this morning, they believe in a powerful force outside in this universe somewhere that rules and reigns and is controlling things. A powerful, powerful, impersonal force. Not a personal force, not a personal God, but an impersonal God. But to our Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't an impersonal force that he paid allegiance to. He talked about a personal God who was his Father, who sent him to do a specific work. And he talked about that from start to finish. He talked about God. That's how they knew that he trusted in God, because he made much of God. To our Lord Jesus Christ, God was all in all. Now, it's a trite statement with us, and we say it many times. We hear it said many times. We Paul parrot that. We say, well, God's my all in all. Is he? He may be your all in all, but he's not your all in all like he was to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought, every breath related to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he trusted in God. To our Lord Jesus Christ, God was all in all, and when we come to estimate and think of God and speak of God and act like the Lord Jesus Christ did, maybe then people will say about us, I believe he's trusting in God. God was his all in all. That's all he wanted. That's all he talked about. He never took time out. He never took no vacations. Get away from it all. What do you mean, get away from it all? Oh, get away from the family. Get away from the work. Get away from the job. Get away from the... He never did that. Now, Johnny on the spot all the time, thinking about God, talking about God, teaching about God. God was his all and his all. He was a trusting man and not self-confident. Now, some are very proud because they're self-made men. You ever hear tell of a self-made man? He'll generally start out by telling you how hard he had it when he was a child, and how he overcome all the obstacles and opposition that was against him, and become what he is today because of his self-made confidence. Confidence in yourself. They say that's what you need in this life. Confidence, confidence, confidence. Well, some are very proud because they're self-made men. Well, I will do them the credit to admit that they worship their Maker. Self-made men always worship themselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not self-confident. He didn't boast of his accomplishments. He never boasted about his miracles. As a matter of fact, he told some of them, he said, don't say a word about this. Go on your way, but don't mention what you've seen here. Oh, no. They said nothing. This crowd here said nothing of his self-confidence. They didn't say, well, this man is a self-made man. This man has achieved this and achieved that. He's a great man. This is what they said about him. They said he trusted in God. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Wouldn't that be something if someone said that about us? Huh? Well, I know this. There's a lot of hypocrites in this world. But I know this. This man trusted in God. He's not self-confident. He's not boasting and bragging, talking about what he done. Oh, no. They said nothing of his self-confidence or his self-reliance. They didn't say he's got a noble spirit of self-confidence. They didn't say that. Oh, no. They said he trusted God. And the words that he spoke, he said, they're not mine, they're his. I don't speak of myself. I speak of the word. I speak the words that my Father spoke. I tell you what he said. No self-confidence in itself. never boasted of great deeds, never questioned his commission to come and to suffer and to die. Even after he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, he returned. He returned to his work, not complaining, not complaining, not saying, well, am I real sure that God sent me to do what I'm doing? I got 12 disciples and one of them betrayed me. No, sir, he returned right to his work. Never missed a hitch. Oh, listen. Not only did he trust in God, and they said he trusted in God. They didn't speak of his self-confidence. They said he trusted in God. And let me tell you this now. He did it openly. He trusted in God openly. A lot of people, their religion, they trust God in the dark room. They trust God when nobody's around. They won't do it openly. They won't stand up and be identified. He did it openly. In front of his enemies. Not in front of his friends. It wasn't like... You've seen this on the television about the promise keepers. You're supposed to have 500,000 or a million men all over the United States of America. Call them promise keepers. I don't know what it means. I know they're religious. But they all go together up there and meet 100,000 of them, or maybe half a million of them, I don't know. They all meet together. And they all talk about what they've done for Jesus, what Jesus will do for you. And they do it openly, not before their enemies, but before their friends. He did it openly before his enemies, not in the corner. He didn't hide away. Oh, no. Most people are afraid to say too much about the Father. But he was never afraid to say too much about the Father. The Father was his thing. That's all he talked about was his Father. He said, "My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He said, "My Father has a kingdom." Always talked about his Father. Most people are just a little bit shy when it comes to talking about the Father, talking about God. They practice their faith in dark rooms. And the secrecy of practicing their faith in a dark room is a dishonor to God. It doesn't give honor to God. Do it openly. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, unto all that believe, unto the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of it." He made much of God, didn't he? Like the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder, Audrey. No wonder, Audrey. As they observed him, they see him, they said he trusted in God. And he did. That's some truth that come out of that crowd. They didn't mean for it to be like that. But they was telling the truth and didn't know it. He trusted in God. Oh, listen. He trusted him. He owned him. He trusted him. And it was seen in word and thought and deed. Seen. Now listen. When you and I come down to die, and we will. We will. Many have died before us. And we got to die. There's no way out. We must die and go out before the God and appear in the presence of the God of all flesh. We got to. And when you and I come to die, oh, may this be so. May our children, your children, my children, say of us, may they say, say about their dear mother? She truly trusted in God. Huh? Oh, maybe you've got some wayward brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, and wayward children. May your wayward children, when you and I go down that long, dark road, may they be able to say, I know there's got to be a lot of hypocrites in this world, but my dad or my mother truly trusted in God. Wouldn't that be something? I wish they could say it now, don't you? Wish they'd say it now. They trusted in God. Well, it's so. It's so. Have you got the kind of faith here this evening which will make you, cause you, prevail upon you to lean on Him? In poverty, when you don't have anything. He never had anything. He never even owned the garment that he wore. And they took that away from him. He never owned a book. He never owned a ring, a watch, a pair of shoes. Never owned anything. And made it all. Poverty stricken. It's the goodness of the people round about to gather up food and give to him and his disciples that they might eat. Have you ever had anything? Can you trust in God? Will you lean on him if poverty overtakes you? Will you lean on God in sickness? Will you lean on God when you go down into the jaws of death? Will you lean on God when men slander you, when men persecute you? Will you trust God for your food? Will you trust God for your clothes? Will you trust God for your shoes on your feet? Will you trust Him? Will you lean on Him? Well, I say unto you this morning, this evening, what we need is less theory and more reality in this faith business, because you and I ain't got as much faith as we think we have. And we'll find that out. You'll find it out. Because faith is going to be tried. God's going to try every man's faith one way or the other. Listen to what they said. He trusted in God. They said that about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Trusted in God. That's what we need to do. That's our hope. That's our hope of eternal life. Is that man trusted in God? That's to say, trusted in God's Christ. God who sent him to make atonement. That man trusted him. He trusted in God. Well, listen to what they said. Let him deliver him. Huh? You see that last word? Do it now. Let him do it now. Let him do it now. Right now. Well, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him right now if he will have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. Challenged God. They challenged God. They said, let him deliver him right now. Now. Well, I accept the challenge. It may be. God will deliver us. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, didn't he? Meshach, Abednego, and that other fellow. He delivered him, didn't he? He delivered Elijah. And he delivered them all. He won't go back on his word. But it'll be all right if he'll deliver us just like he delivered our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that we have to go through just what he did. But he'll deliver us. Huh? He'll deliver us through it all. We'll go down, but we'll come out the other side. I'll talk to you some more about this now business. Deliver him now. We want to see him now. Deliver him now. Let him come down. What if he had to come down? What if he had delivered him then? But no salvation for us. No redemption for us if he'd come down. Christ must die. He must suffer. He must die. He must go to the grave. He must come forth from the grave. Make complete atonement for his people's sins. Oh no. Oh no. If God would have delivered him in answer to their prayer, their cry, then our Lord Jesus Christ would have had to come back defeated. His purpose was defeated. He didn't accomplish what he set out to do. Couldn't be that way, could he? He had to have the victory. He has to go down into death. All right. Trust in God. Come hell or high water, let's trust in God. How'd they know? That's all he talked about. That's all he talked about is God. He talked about himself.